Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Just call me Your Royal Highness. That'll work just fine. No problem at all. 34 after, welcome back. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're having a great time here today. I hope you are too. We're gonna have more fun too, because we got an economist with us right now, folks. Can you imagine the mayhem, the sheer excitement of having an economist on the show? Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, former dean of the School of Business at Temple University, and now professor there of economics, and also chief economist for the NFIB, and more importantly, he's our good friend, Bill Dunkelberg. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, sir.
When you get an economist, when you hang out with economists, it just takes your breath away, doesn't it?
That's right, it does.
You know, you were with a few dozen of your best friends last week, weren't you?
Well, indeed, we had our annual escape to Grand Lake Stream in Maine, and CNBC covers that. So
yeah, if you remember, folks, they had, if you watched any of CNBC, they covered that quite extensively last week, and Bill was one of the guys they were talking about up there. So how'd it go?
Yeah, it was good. We caught a lot of fish and had a lot of people there, and then we did our usual betting. So we bet on we make our forecast and then bet on them for a year from now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so next year when we reconvene, we'll see how well we did.
But do you publish that information? See, when I do my predictions every year, which I do at the beginning of every year, Bill, I actually publish the results the next year, just before I do my new predictions. And I hold myself up and point out, you know, where I was right and where I was wrong. Do you guys do that?
Well, most of the economists there do, you know, who are in the forecasting game, because they're hoping they're right, of course, and that they'll look good. And we also, CNBC publishes the kind of what we mistakenly call a consensus. There's no consensus, of course. There are 34 economists and 34 forecasts. So, but the CNBC publishes the averages and reports on those. So we know what the average economist is thinking anyway.
Right.
And unfortunately, most of us are average. Or we're not average, because we're whatever.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing ordinary about economists. They're all a little bit different, a little quirkier. Bill, what was the consensus among... give us a little report on what the consensus was among the folks who attended it last week.
Well, overall, we see growth happening in the second half of the year, and expected growth next year. The average was a little over 3, so that's pretty good. That would be kind of on trend. It's not enough to reduce the unemployment.
3 is in 3%?
Yeah, 3%.
3% growth for the second half?
Yeah.
Wow.
And a number of the economists have already increased their growth rate estimates for this quarter to up around 3. So
wow,
I think that's optimistic. But
that seems a little optimistic to me.
But when you start from a really low level, remember the first quarter got revised from -5.5 down to -6.4, so they took it down a whole other point.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you start from lower levels, it's easier to get nice percentage growth rates, as we know. So,
well, but still, 3% for the second half, from their mouth to God's ears, I mean, I'm ready for it, but that seems like a V recovery, not a U recovery.
They're expecting it to be a V, but not with the equal slants on both legs.
Yeah.
You know, the one leg of the V gets tipped out, so it's a lot slower overall.
Don't they call that a hockey stick?
Yeah, you could call that a hockey stick, I guess. that's true. There is a little angle in there, isn't there?
I think that's a hockey stick. There you go.
They're expecting the Fed to start raising interest rates next year, but that won't matter very much. So you got low interest rates, low inflation. The stock market, I think they're looking for... like the average was around 1180 for a year from now.
For the S&P?
Yeah, and the S&P. And I'm trying to remember all those numbers.
Well, the one thing that happened that we can report on that happened yesterday is Bob McTeer was on earlier in the week, and he predicted that the Fed would not do anything. He's made some great predictions, but that wasn't one of his most aggressive and
right.
It didn't take a lot of courage for him to make that prediction.
I don't think there was an economist here that thought Fed would do anything.
We all knew. Well, let me put it this way: I devoted about 8 seconds to that prediction. That's how not eventful that was. But Bob's got plenty of courage, as you do. But he didn't need much of it yet to predict that. So the Fed did nothing this week. They basically left things unchanged. But very interesting, folks. Now think about this. We're going to juxtapose that 3% growth for the second half that most of the economists are predicting for 2009. We're going to overlay that over this report that Bill does every month and the one he just did and see how those two truck together. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I don't know why they don't explode.
Little Steely Dan bringing us back. This is Peg. 17 till. Welcome back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And I hope you'll go there and listen, read, ask questions, check out my blog, subscribe to my newsletter. Lots of stuff you can do there. I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll like it. I think you can find whatever's on your mind under the small business sun. We got something there. Surely we have something after 12 years of almost of doing this. And I'm introducing you to these really smart people in our brain trust who care so much about you and helping you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. They deposit this information with us, and we make sure that it's available to you on our website. So I hope you check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And a lot of the stuff that we do here, we make available on Twitter. If you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Bill Dunkelberg, Dr. William Dunkelberg, is our good friend, longtime member of our brain trust, chief economist for the NFIB. Bill, you were just telling us that the economist in your 34, 35 or so of your economist were in Maine. I you know, hearing about that many economists together, Bill, I can't help but think about the old thing about what was it, Reagan, who said if you stretched all the economists in the world from end to end, they would not reach a conclusion or something like that?
Well, somebody said that. I like that. It's a good one.
So when I think about 35 economists together, I just imagine them stretched, you know, head to toe, end to end. Yeah, that's a sight I'd like to see. Somebody should take a picture of that. That'd be a great photo, wouldn't it?
Well, we did take a picture, but
no,
we weren't laid end to end.
but the guys, the ladies and gentlemen there at the event, predicted their predictions for the economy is kind of rosy, but that doesn't truck with what your small business owners told you this month.
Well, the small business owners are still worried about the economy, and
they're also out there where the rubber meets the road, though, Bill.
They are out there where, and they're not telling us that they've seen this pickup yet. You know, that's going to give us better growth in the third quarter here.
Yeah.
So. We'll have to see whether it shows up or not. The macro, that's one of the interesting things. The kind of the macro indicators, the macroeconomic indicators are doing better, you know, like the stock market, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The stock market's doing well. Inflation's low. Interest rates are low. The ISM reports are good, so on and so forth. So that should be raising, people's expectations and making them more optimistic.
But see, I don't make that connection, Bill. I'll tell you, I guess maybe emotionally it is, but Bill, the reason the stock market's doing well, it seems to me, is because companies cut so much. They've cut so much out. They're slow paying so many people that they got higher profits because they overcut, in my opinion, and overreacting to what happened last fall. And so how could they not make a profit? When you cut that much payroll, you cut that many contracts out, how could they not make a profit? And so I think we're talking a high stock market on low quality performance. And I don't see that, in my opinion, I don't see that as a positive for the marketplace. Not Wall Street, but for the marketplace. Am I wrong about that?
No, I agree with you. Earnings this time are driven primarily on the by expense reductions, not improvements in sales. And you're right, that's not sustainable. That means the next round of profitability, I mean, if you can't cut anymore, you know, you're not going to be able to generate an increase in profit, so
yeah.
You're stuck. But you'll keep the same profits anyway. But we're still looking for the, you know, sales on the demand side. And, you know, the last set of numbers we saw really told us that about the only sector that was growing in expenditures was government.
Yeah.
Not one of our favorites, mm-hmm. So we're not happy with that. But
well, optimism among your folks fell 1.3 points to 86.5. Is that a new low?
No. That's a long ways from the new. The low for the recent times was March at 81. So we've come up off of that. We just kind of stopped improving in June. So June and July were kind of down a point. But we're still above our low, which is good. And the all-time low, of course, was back in 1980, first quarter, and we hit 80.1, which was 9/10 of a point lower than March. But March was, you know, basically as low as we've ever gone. And so we're
But the employment among small businesses who reported to you is down also.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, you know, we were talking about cost reductions. I mean, the major cost for most small businesses is labor costs.
Mm-hmm. 55% on average, isn't it?
We were chopping them down. You know, in June we cut employment an average of 1.26 workers a firm, and in July it was less. It was 0.81, which led us to then in our models predict a lower unemployment rate, because the first thing that happens is that you stop firing people, and then, of course, eventually you start hiring people.
Right.
We're in the stop firing people phase at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Capital spending is off a little too, isn't it?
Yeah, capital spending has been, you know, stuck, you know, in very low gear here for probably 2 years. You know, we saw it coming, I guess, and everybody stopped buying new equipment, stopped expanding facilities, and that, of course, contributes to GDP when they do that. But when they saw bad news coming, and when they were told by Washington that a depression might happen, well, I mean, I'm hanging on to my money, so we have deferred.
Right.
And when that starts, when you start replacing the equipment in the trucks and the, you know, fixing the loading docks and doing all that, kind of buying the new computers, that'll certainly help spur growth. And probably it's that kind of thinking that underlies the forecast for the third and fourth quarter, that some of that pent-up demand is going to start to be filled by people as they realize we're not going to crash.
That decline in capital spending, though, also continues the decline in loan demand by small business owners in on the credit side. And so those two work very closely together. We come back. One of the things I want to ask Bill is government spending, is government money going to help this economy anytime soon? Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Dr. William Dunkelberg. Bill Dunkelberg is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Chief Economist for the NFIB. That's NFIB.com, right, Bill?
Right.
And they can find your survey. Folks, every month, as I mentioned earlier, I think, as I usually do, Bill polls small business owners across the country and finds out what they think about the economy on a number of different aspects of the operation. And he compiles all those responses into a report, and he allows us to publish it on our website, which I think is up right now. It's on the NFIB.com website, also smallbiz.net.biz. Is that what it is? Which one?
Org.
.org. Smallbiz, right? .org. B-U-S. And it's there, and maybe some other places. Bill, the... we were saying when we went to the break that capital spending is off. Therefore, every bank I talk to, mostly independent community banks, tell me their loan demand is way off. They got they got money, but they don't have any customers.
Yeah, we have money to lend, and demand's not high. Well, if you're postponing capital spending and you're just liquidating inventories and not replacing, that eliminates very large segments of. You know, of the demand for money. I mean, that's what we borrow money for businesses. So without those things going on, why there are far fewer people that are lining up to get credit.
But Bill, you know, one thing I worry about, the media has really irritated me in the last 9 months by declaring that there's no credit available. Small businesses can't get loans, blah, blah, blah. You know, they've driven this into the ground, and every time they've said it, it's been a lie because there's never been a month. When I talk to the independent community banks that I know across the country, from New York to little bitty teeny tiny towns, there's never been a month those guys haven't told me, you know what, if a small business owner that we know or that we work with and they're credit worthy, that wanted a loan, we've been able to make the loan.
No, that's right.
I'm afraid these folks are not they believe the media and rather than go and talk to their banker. That's what I worry about.
Yeah, and they shouldn't do that. Of course, if they need money, they ought to go ask the bank and see. What the recession has done, of course, is to change the credit worthiness of a lot of borrowers.
Yep.
A couple of years ago, in 2007, your P&L looked really good. Your financial ratios were good. So when you applied for the loan, you looked very, very good. Now, since the recession has had 20 months, which is the longest in our post-crash history, it's getting tough. You know, things are wearing thin.
Mm-hmm.
You might have had money in reserve, because you're a cautious person, but you were thinking the average recession is 9 months, and here you are looking at 20. So, everything is there are clothing's wearing a little thin there, and so
right.
So we don't look as creditworthy, and so more people would be turned down. Whereas 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they would not have been. So.
But you guys, you reported this time that inventories are off quite a bit, sales are off quite a bit.
Yeah. Sales are. We've been liquidating inventories like crazy, which shows up in the government numbers. And of course, they were reporting that sales are down. Now, sales are down for two reasons. One, of course, is that you have fewer customers buying the things that you make or produce your services.
Mm-hmm.
But the other is that, price cutting is so widespread. So you might sell the same number of widgets, but you're selling them at a lower price, so that means total revenue still
right.
falls. And so both of those things are going on. It's kind of a double whammy
mm-hmm.
On the revenue side.
Hopefully that portends pent-up demand one day when things will turn around. But Bill, they're not going to turn around until... as long as consumers are not coming to the table.
Well, that's it. Consumers are 70% of GDP, and again, the rapid decline in the economy in the fourth quarter last year and earlier this year really resulted from a major reductions in spending by people who are relatively better off and still have their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go from selling 16 million cars a year to 9 just from unemployed people not
right.
buying cars.
Right.
It's you and me who decided not to buy another car. Again, being cautious, said, look, if a depression is coming, if the Secretary of Treasury is right, or Bernanke's right, I better save the money, and this car will still run for a lot of years, so why trade it in?
I got to wrap it up, but before we go, when is the government, in 20 seconds, when is the government stimulus going to kick in?
Well, it's hard to say when it's going to kick in because it's not really a stimulus. For every dollar we put into a stimulus project, they have to get from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So if they tax it from you or borrow from you, you can't spend it. So
yep.
in the macro sense, it's kind of a wash. So it's not going to be a great
stimulus. But it's not a wash on our balance sheet of the government, is it?
No, it's not.
It's more deficit spending, which was ill-conceived, in my opinion. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job.
All right, Jim, take care.
Bill Duckenberg, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be, too, after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.